This episode of Star Wars in Character is brought to you by the new Star Wars in Character Amazon.com shop. If you're looking for some new Star Wars merchandise like the upcoming Blu-ray disc sets, take a look at our new shop by visiting our website at www.swic.neozaz.com and clicking on the Star Wars in Character Amazon.com shop on the front page. Shop the same great Amazon prices, services, and selections you know while supporting the podcast.
What? Oh, yeah!
This is Star Wars in Character, the podcast that takes a closer look at some of the characters in the Star Wars universe you probably never noticed. Backstories, histories, and details you never knew, wanted to know, or ever need to know. Now here are this week's panelists of Star Wars in Character.
Today we're talking about Ulla. Ulla only appears in Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. My name is Cloud City Chris. There you go. Today I am joined by Mos Eisley Matt.
So I'm a den of scum and villainry. That's nice.
Duros Dave.
A what?
Duros. Is that you say it's him?
What?
Even Tim doesn't know what the hell you're talking about.
You got me stumped.
What is it?
It's those, not the Cantina band members, the other kind of long-headed alien butthead things in the Cantina there where they're talking.
The butthead?
The blue with the red eyes?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like those two that are like drunk and like laughing and giggling?
Yeah, those are the...
That's them. So you're a red-eyed drunken alien.
Butthead, basically, is what you
sort of, yeah.
I thought you were going to go for all places. I thought this was getting all...
No.
No, you
keep
don't...
Keep guessing.
You don't prepare that well.
And Tusken Raider Tim.
Awesome.
Oh, thanks for listening, everybody. We ran out of time with Chris explaining the names.
Timbo.
Yes.
Talks about Ulla.
Ulla. Yes, Ulla. Ulla is a Twi'lek. From the planet Ryla. Now, before we go on, do you guys say Twi'lek or Twi'lek? I've heard it said both ways.
Tomato.
I've never said either.
Say Twi'light.
Twi'light, yes.
No. I would pronounce that Twi'lek.
Me too.
Yeah, I've heard people call them Twi'leks, but for this episode, Twi'lek. Ulla is a Twi'lek from the planet Ryloth, and she is the daughter of a clan chieftain. She went to one of the most prestigious dance schools on all of Ryloth. So she was one of the finest dancers on the entire planet. And she was tricked into becoming a dancer for Jabba by Bib Fortuna.
You call that dancing, first of all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How was she tricked by Bib Fortuna? This is like the girl in the big city off the bus for the first time and lured in by the underworld kind of thing?
You know what? I'm not sure exactly how it worked out. I bought the book Tales from Jabba's Palace, which is, I think, is where all of these events took place. But I didn't get a chance to read it. I'm assuming that that Bib Fortuna went on a scouting trip to Ryloth to look for suitable companions for Jabba and convinced her to come to Mos Eisley, come to Tatooine, to dance in Jabba's palace under the, I think he tricked her into thinking that it was going to be a prestigious thing. It was going to be something that was going to lead to bigger and better things.
This is your assumption?
This is my assumption.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes. Yes. Again, I didn't go and read the full story. And when I went onto Wikipedia, there wasn't anything about her being, there wasn't any details about her being tricked. So I'm not sure exactly how it all went down. I'll get back to you on that.
Your dedication, quality, and accuracy for the show is, you know, impresses me once again.
It's dropped. I know.
Ulla's green. Okay, let's get the trivia.
But when she gets to Tatooine, she sees that things are going south, and just prior to the events of Return of the Jedi, Luke Skywalker runs into her and another dancer. That are being brought to Jabba, and you know, he finds out that they're going to be slaves, and he attempts to free them, but fails, and only kills one of their captors, which was a guy named Jarris Rudd.
So she knows Luke?
She meets Luke, yes. She meets Luke prior to going to Jabba's palace.
Well, it's like Matt said in all these extended universe backstories. Everybody knows everybody. Yeah. Bump into each other.
Remember me?
So they should.
There's only 15 people in the universe.
The opening sentence for each of these movies should be in a galaxy far, far away, but not that many people.
I sat behind you in health class. Remember me?
Is she the first Twi'lek? I mean, because then that ends up getting used again in the prequels with this Aayla Secura, and even in the special edition scenes in the Jabba, there's a blue Twi'lek. Is she the first Twi'lek that anybody had seen in Star Wars up to that point?
Well, Bib Fortuna's a Twi'lek.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Is he? Because even though he's got those tentacles, his are different in appearance than the three women that I'm thinking of in particular.
Yeah, he's not as attractive as the other Twi'leks we see in the movies.
Yeah, you got a point.
Depends on your taste, I guess.
I think that those are the first two Twi'leks. And then after that, I think Ula sort of pigeonholed all Twi'leks after that. All Twi'leks we see after that are all super sexy, and half of them are dancing or massage girls or what have you. Even in the Clone Wars, the Twi'leks are always, you know, pinup girls. There was an episode this past season where there's a whole bunch of Twi'lek showgirls, you know, bumping and grinding for a bunch of huts, very suggestively.
Yeah, and in episode one, before the pod race, Sebulba is being massaged by two, like you said, pretty hot Twi'leks.
Yeah, they are probably the most attractive species in all of the galaxy, I would assume. Everybody wants them and wants to look at them. Yeah, it doesn't even matter if you're in the same gene pool as them. You could be aliens and all sort of a hut, a dug, whatever, and you still want to be surrounded by Twi'leks. Go figure.
Yeah, but does Jabba think that he's going to get some?
How would he get some? I guess maybe that's a conversation for another episode.
Yeah. Well, when she's brought to Jabba's palace, she learns, you know, all of a sudden she learns the cold hard truth of what she has to do. And not only is she forced to dance for Jabba's entertainment, and this is in quotations, she's also expected to, quote, give pleasure.
Yeah, unquote. I saw that, but what's that mean?
A prostate massage? I'm not really sure.
What? And I think I know what Chris is getting at, because when you're little, when we watch that scene, you think it's just, you know, Jabba's mean and he kills her. But when you're watching it now and recently, she's dancing and she kind of pulls on the chain and he's pulling on the chain. And when you're little, you think, oh, she's, you know, he kills her because she's pulling on the chain. But he's definitely aroused.
He has a Woody.
Or horny at some point, because his tongue, I mean, he's got his tongue out and...
Like all guys do.
I've seen that look on Chris's face.
We were alone, too.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
What, is that the way all four of us understand it at this point? Like, he was...
Yep.
He was
that scene, they go into a little detail. And that scene...
I think he actually gets a little more aroused on the fact of what he's about to do to her. I think he really gets off on violence and tragedy.
He's like that guy in Dune that pulls the heart plugs from the little kids.
Mm.
What is that guy? The Baron?
Yeah.
I don't know. But that scene, he's pulling on the chain because he's like, oh, yeah, come on, baby. You know, time for full release.
That was lame.
Pulling her closer. And she's like, oh, my God, not again. And she's trying to get away and screaming in her Twi'lekian language. And he's like, and he eventually gets her over the grate and drops her into the Rancor pit.
And I have a really, this is going to, I have a really stupid, when I was 10 years old, I remember this. This is how stupid I am back then and now. So when she fell in the pit and you didn't see anything and you hear, and the next scene you see a little frog or a toad in Jabba's bowl and he eats it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that she fell down into that pit and somehow shrunken down That whole thing, I swear to God, and that he ate her.
I don't even know how that would, how your mind made that.
I
came up with that.
When the frog was going to the mouth, I saw like Twi'lek things or something, and I thought that was her shrunken down, and now he's eating her.
You saw Nip the frog?
was this the first time you saw the movie?
Yeah.
Or was this like subsequent viewings after that?
This happened last week. No, this is the first time I saw this. I honestly thought that is what happened. And I am
now, when later on, when Luke goes down in the pit as a 10-year-old, we're like, oh,
but he didn't die. See, maybe if he would have died, then it would have been in his bowl and he would have ate.
Okay. Well, I that's impressive.
That's a true story, and I'm sticking to it.
You shouldn't have that story.
Yeah, you should know.
Your mind works in such unique ways. It's awesome. You are a great case study.
Well, this whole thing is very medieval, like the king and his entertainers. So, and I think that what Matt said is true. It's like he may be getting off on the fact that, you know, she's attractive, but he's really probably getting off more on the fact that she's gonna die.
Yeah, but if he gets off on seeing the hot girl dying, is he getting off that Luke might die too?
Sure.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
It's like gladiators and court jesters. I mean, the whole thing is very medieval to me. And I think she's basically only in this movie as a tease for the Rancor. Like, I think if Lucas and they didn't want to just show you the Rancor right away, this was like foreshadowing that there's something down there, right. And it's pretty damn nasty.
Right.
Because I watched the original version online and then the special edition version, and the version we grew up watching, like you said, she just disappears and you hear a scream.
Right.
And you're thinking, what the hell's down there?
Then you saw a frog and, oh, there she is.
Yeah, you did. I think she's only there to serve the purposes of making the Rancor out to be pretty damn awesome.
Mm-hmm.
True. Which it was, and I think still is.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Right before you mentioned that, I was actually thinking that scene that they added her in the special edition, mm-hmm, was one of the few instances where they improved over the original. But now that you mentioned that, I guess the way that it originally was, where you don't see anything and you don't see what's going on, is probably much more chilling than what they actually did with the special edition. I for some reason, I guess as a fan, knowing for years and years that's what had happened, I guess when they put out the special edition, to actually see that happening was sort of satisfying. But when you mention it, I think as a kid watching Star Wars for the first time or Return of the Jedi for the first time, it probably would be better to not see that, to wait until Luke goes down.
Hmm. Hard to imagine.
I think both ways have merits, because they brought her back. Like you said, Tim, we were talking beforehand. They brought her back for those scenes. She doesn't look a stitch different.
Mm-hmm.
And how many years later is it? I mean,
it's like 13, 14 years later.
Yeah, those scenes are pretty, I mean, the way that they're intercut, for someone seeing that the first time, they wouldn't know that those scenes were added later. She looks fantastic. She doesn't look at all different.
What was weird is on the young Indiana Joneses, it says here that an episode that they filmed starred actor Benedict Taylor, the brother of Femi Taylor, who played Ula. And learning of the special edition, Taylor told Rick McCallum his sister was in the same physical shape, if not better, she was years ago during the original 1980s shoot.
Yeah, I remember I had the computer DVD, or probably I think it was CD-ROM back then, about the special editions they released, like, yeah, maybe like a year before they came out, and they had an interview with Rick, what's his name, Rick McCullen?
Yeah.
Rick McCallum. Number two, yeah, was they had an interview with him, and he told that story. That was pretty neat back then. That was, of course, before half my soul got crushed by Star Wars, but so back then it was cool to hear that story.
Well, we've all, I mean, I can't speak for Matt, but I know that Chris and Tim and myself, we've all met her.
We have.
And she's real nice.
Very nice.
And we met her in different parts of her life.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tim.
Oh, I was going to say, before we go on to talk about Femi, do you want me to finish up the Ula story, or do we want to go on just to talk about Femi?
Go for it, because I looked on YouTube for her. There's tons of YouTube stuff. She's like really a beloved character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
well,
go for it.
Well, she goes down and she dies in the jaws of the Rancor. But that's not where her story ends.
Oh, are you serious?
Nope.
Take it back. You should have stopped.
Yeah. Let's talk about feminism or whatever you were talking about.
Her legend lives on in the Star Wars universe in the form of an Ula impersonator. Yes.
Is this a drag show?
Is like Elvis.
Almost the name of the performer is Dame Nida.
Oh god,
which is no relation to Captain Nida.
Is that like a Dame Edna?
Do they perform with Saru Paul?
Maybe, yeah. I guess, yeah. If you just take out one of those E's and you just move the letters around, it would be Dame Edna.
Is the impersonator a dude?
That is her name, Dame.
Is it a droid? Nida.
And she routinely puts on an Ula tribute show at the Gardula Ula. I'm not making this shit up. The Gardula Ula Hotel and Casino.
I had that removed when I was 7. It was giving me all kinds of digestive problems.
So apparently, while it is a haven for scum and villainy, they have a hotel and casino with a tribute show to a dead slave dancer.
Wow.
Yeah. Her name lives on.
Lives on.
It is just amazing what people come up with. That's great.
Does this impersonator of...
I mean, really, just about everybody that would have seen her was in Jabba's palace. Most of them died on the sail barge. What audience is there to see a Ula tribute show?
Unless they were fans of her. You said she was like famous beforehand when Bib Fortuna came out. I can imagine him on stage like the jazz singer 5, 6, 7, 8 and she starts galloping around the stage.
Showgirls. Mos Eisley never goes dark.
So that is where the story of Ula ends. It is rumored that Ula and Bib Fortuna are two established characters that may appear in the live action show. That is, there's a rumor going around about that.
Oh, that show's never going to happen.
Yeah, it sort of seems that way. Yeah. So I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, she's in an earlier scene before all that too, where she's sitting next to Jabba and she's being fanned by a Jawa. Is that just in the special editions or is that in the original?
She's calling off her hot cup of Jawa juice.
She's sitting next to him and it's almost like she's the one like that's being pampered because there's a Jawa sitting behind her with like a big peacock looking feather and he's fanning the back of her head.
In that movie, I do remember seeing photos or still photos, at least I don't remember seeing it actually in the movie of the fan behind. I always thought the fan was just for Jabba's comfort.
No, I'll post it on Facebook page. I know for a fact I've seen footage of her being fanned by a Jawa, which is kind of funny in its own right. But yeah, it seems like she's even like Leia, slave Leia is chained up in front of him. It's almost like that. Like she's at his foot, not that he has feet, but she's there for his beck and call. But for some reason, there's a Jawa that's fanning her.
Oh yeah, I see the cliff now.
It's kind of bizarre.
No one's yet mentioned that this was the original Janet Jackson nipple slip.
I was waiting.
From the Star Wars galaxy. And I think me and Tim might be the only two people on this podcast that might have even saw her nipple in real life.
Yes. Before we tell that story, I do remember watching Return of the Jedi with Chris when we came to that realization. It may have been before the special editions even came out. I was over at Chris's house watching Return of the Jedi with him, and we noticed there's nipple.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And we, like, stopped and rewind. This is on VHS. We're rewinding and...
pausing it over the lines.
Yeah, we're like, what? No, yeah.
Same thing happened to me. It was like I was working at the theater that we all worked at together, and I was putting together, the Prince. It was a late Thursday night, early Friday morning, and I had Return of the Jedi going, and I happened to look up right at that scene, and that's when I noticed it. I'm like, did I just see what I thought I saw? And I did the same exact thing you just described.
Yeah. It's like, oh, my God.
So, I mean, I'd seen that. That was like, what? When did we work there in the 90s? So that was like, almost 10 years later, and I never noticed it before?
for being on Tatooine, it was awfully cold. Mm. The Rancor.
What I found astounding right away was that they bothered to paint it all green in the first place, thinking that this could actually happen.
Yeah, yeah, true. Yeah.
You'd think they'd put like a pasty over it. I mean, really?
Even two.
Yeah, if they're going to go as far as to paint the whole breast green, then you'd think they'd want to, you say, well, you know, if we think it's going to pop out, maybe we should do something. Well, not that I complained, especially, you know.
Both George and Richard Marquand were like, no.
I am so aroused.
I'm surprised they didn't cut it out. Cut it out of the special edition.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of like you guys, even worse. I knew that you could always see through her mesh top. Mm-hmm. In fact, we met her and we got autographed pictures by her. The picture is basically her topless. Yes. And it's like one of those things like I own and I have in a frame and I can't hang up because it's coming and staring at, what are you doing in there, buddy?
Nothing.
Staring at Ula. But I didn't know until we were just doing this that, you know, the whole thing actually comes heaving out. So
things are flopping about.
I had no idea.
I'm with you, Dave. I'm surprised that I actually, you know, by the time we saw special edition in theaters, I kept my eyes open because I wanted to see how they were going to edit it out because I fully expected them to edit it out. And to my surprise, that scene remained untouched.
Right. So for all
just
of
wait,
us,
just wait for the Blu-ray.
3D.
It's probably
3D.
It's probably the first boob that all of us saw, and we don't even know
it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're exactly right.
Yeah, maybe. Hmm. It was either that or Zapped. One of those two.
Mine was Airplane. My first boob.
Oh yeah, that was another.
Well, I assume this is probably a stupid question, but in asking the four of us between the original scene and the special edition scene, which you prefer?
I'll be honest, I forget the original scene. I popped in my my DVD and it was the special edition version.
What has the different song? Tim's favorite.
True.
Hate the new
song. Lefty Neck.
Tim loves Lefty Neck.
Yeah, I do love too. I'm with Neck. I'm with Tim. Yeah. Oddly enough.
I prefer Lefty Neck. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
I don't like this version. I like the version they never released on CD with the one from the movie. I hate that little drooling guy.
Yes, when the camera goes into his mouth, he sees spit.
Shut up.
Joe Yowza.
Joe Wowza.
Oh, God.
Well, the thing that bothers me the most about the special edition is the whole thing does stink because you got the CGI size noodles thrown in there. Yeah. The song stinks. But the thing that bothers me the most is the two Weequay dudes playing the drums in the background.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On solo thing.
Yeah.
Just the whole thing is just a steaming turd.
Then they have that extra scene of they throw Boba Fett walking by and looking at the camera.
Just to get him in there.
Yeah, remember me?
Yep.
with the new backup singers and he kind of grabs her by the chin. Kind
of thing. Oh, yeah. That was
Restall. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I knew that was going to be a dumb question, but...
I hate the sliced noodle. And I think we just talked about this last episode or the episode before. I mean, I hate that they replaced all that Henson Creature Shop work with the CGI thing that looked much worse than the puppets ever did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. I agree. And I think I said it. I think I said it where there is something to be said for a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
There's something physical there that's lost when you have a CG character.
Yeah.
I firmly believe CG should be used sparingly and only when absolute necessary. And I think, and I know Matt will agree with me on this one. I think that is where the prequels suffer the most.
Yep,
Storytelling aside, in terms of presentation, I think the overuse of CG is. Sort of takes away from the experience a bit.
And I think not that I can speak for the actors in any regard, because I certainly don't know, but I would imagine that regardless of what your talent level is, there's only so much you can do to react to nothing. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway, I've been married for 14 years, so I guess I'm pretty good at that. So
there's something about knowing that there's a guy's hand up someone's ass that makes me and then a CGI character.
There's a whole series of DVDs about that.
Do tell it to that Jerome podcast by yourself.
Yeah. So, and now, Chris, I didn't mean to interrupt, but tell us about regale us in our real life tales of Ula.
Well, if my memory serves me right, when we went to get her autograph, she just had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that was fucking creepy. Yeah, that was weird.
as you know, it, babies have to eat, right, Tim? So we witnessed this Ula breastfeeding her child.
Oh yeah,
and I hope you gave her some privacy.
I said, move over, mama.
He put his poster on, gave her a pen, and she just let the kid go, and it was still hanging there, dangling while she signed.
She was sitting there right at her autograph table.
Yeah,
so she obviously was very comfortable showing every repressed fanboy at the convention her goods.
Well, everyone's seen it by then, whether they knew it or not.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Oh, good time.
Maybe she was just like, I see, still got it. 15 years later. Fun bag one, fun bag two.
You're both very sick.
Yeah.
Milk doesn't look good.
She is I can't remember the last time we saw her. It's been a couple of years since I've seen her. But she's a very attractive woman.
She is.
Yes. And we actually mentioned this earlier. Her brother Benedict Taylor is also in a Star Wars movie. He plays Naboo pilot Bravo 2 in The Phantom Menace. And you know what? It's funny because she's black, so I assumed he was the black pilot that I think he dies in The Phantom Menace. I thought that was him, and I went on today to look at him. Benedict Taylor's a white dude.
Well, we can save that for our discussion.
Are you sure you didn't look up Dirk Benedict?
Yeah, like Ace.
She was in Battlestar Galactica and A-Team. But yeah, Benedict Taylor's a white dude. And actually, I have his autograph. I think I got it through the mail. I was looking through my autograph collection, and I saw his signature on an index card. I was like, ooh.
Ooh.
So I'm not sure where the Benedict Femi Taylor relation comes into play, but he is white as the driven snow.
Yeah.
And
isn't the
she's whatever the
pure,
opposite.
Isn't the phrase pure as the driven snow? I never heard it said white as the driven snow.
White?
Matthew, does your website have any nipple slips in it?
Not directly, but it leads to, I guess you could say, scenes of nipple slips.
Yes.
It's on the denofgeek.com, and it is the top 50 sexy sci-fi costumes, of which Ula is on the list.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh,
yeah.
Well,
do you want me to give it away?
No.
Okay, so I'll leave it there. And so it's got 50 hot sci-fi chicks and, you know, links to their cool videos. So, yeah, I like this site. Even though it's not specifically Ula, but, you know, she's certainly in good company.
Right.
Trying to think of who would be on the list, according to that.
Well, probably
Lilu.
Yeah, Fifth Element.
Yep.
Yeah. The B girl, if it's updated. But
most of them aren't so much of a stretch. I'd say maybe here and there are, but they did a pretty good job of picking, you know, actually hot 50 hot sci-fi chicks throughout the years.
The girl from Life Force that's naked throughout the entire movie.
They even they have Ursa from Superman 2 on the list.
Yeah.
We're in
and Chris's favorite, the chick from Tron.
Oh, God. Was it Sydney Morgan, right? Is that her?
Yeah,
that's the actress's name on Tron. I don't even remember what her character name was.
Is that good, huh?
We're ready for some trivia?
Trivia.
Hey, trivia.
All right. Now, let's do a little recap of the scores. At the moment, I think we're pretty much in order. Chris is in the basement with 8.
Yeah.
And Tim with 9.
Yeah.
Then Matt with 11, and I have 10. So we're going 8, 9, 10, 11 here. So Matt is in the lead all by himself. For the first time, we have a leader all by themselves.
Damn straight.
So as you're out there listening, play along as we try to get these questions. Chris, you're first. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Don't be a naysayer. You got a shot at this
one. Listening. Okay.
All right. Your question is as follows. What Imperial informant told the stormtroopers in Mos Eisley which docking bay Luke Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi were going to? So basically, what is the name of the Imperial informant in Mos Eisley? You, I'm sure, have toys and action figures and probably met the dude that was running around in it.
Say, it's that thing.
I know.
The nose, the black nose hangs down, and I'm drawing a blank of the guy's name.
Would you like multiple choice?
Yes, yes, I would, please.
All right, you should really get half a point, I think.
I'll take it.
No, we'll be nice here.
Give him the multiple choice in that character's language.
That was a good impression,
Matt.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You practiced that a lot when you were little, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, here you go. Here's your four choices. If you don't get it after this,
I'm an ass.
You are no longer allowed to watch Star Wars. You're only allowed to be like a Star Trek fan.
Done.
Okay. So here's your choices. Is it A, Greedo?
No.
B, Boba Fett?
No.
C, Garindan?
Yeah.
Or D, Thuku? What I don't even know what
C.
That is. So you're going with C, Garindan?
Yes, please.
Well, of course, you know at this point that that's correct. So congratulations, Chris.
Thank you.
Are you a little bit ashamed?
A little bit. I knew the character. I knew the thing. I didn't know what the character's name was until you said it.
Okay. Well, that means you're with nine.
Nine!
That's the only reason we did nine nubs, so you could say that.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, you had to carry it over from the, you know, it's crossover from the other podcast.
Listen to the Grady's, a great 80s movie. I don't know what the hell he's even talking about. All right. Matt, are you ready?
Yes.
Your question is, and there are quotes, and I will add the quotation marks. Your question is, why did C-3PO exclaim, quote, curse my metal body, end quote?
Oh, okay. I mean, I know the scene, and I don't know how specific of an answer this is written, but I'm going to say it was because he thought he didn't stop the trash compactor from killing Han, Leia, Luke, and Chewbacca.
We're doomed.
That's absolutely correct.
Okay.
I like that. That was well put.
Thank you.
Great job. Yeah, good.
I mean, I'll read you what they have here, but you were dead on. He thought he hadn't been quick enough in getting R2-D2 to shut down the trash compactor.
Yeah. Okay.
Congratulations.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, we're two for two, Tim.
Okay.
You got to keep going. Are you ready?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. What were Han Solo's last words to Luke Skywalker before the Battle of Yavin? Were his last words before the Battle of Yavin?
It was, Luke, may the force be with you.
That is correct. Good job, Tim.
Now, Tim.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, that's three for three.
All right.
Now the pressure's on me.
Here we go.
Chris is selecting my question as we speak.
Yes. This one here, I don't know. We shall see how good you are, Dave.
Does that mean you think it's hard?
Yeah.
What is the thrust per inch power of one X-Wing engine?
Yeah, and your choices are.
That's basically the questions I'm getting here.
Yeah, exactly.
Because here's the thing. I will explain later. All right, ready?
Okay.
What were the rebels targeting in their attack on the Death Star?
What were they targeting?
Yes. I give you four options if you like.
So I have to be specific here.
Yes.
Well, I don't want multiple choice. I'm not a little bitch like you.
Got it.
Yes.
And need multiple choice. No, I'm just kidding. I'm gonna go with this, and if I get it wrong, I get it wrong. But
I'll give it to you if you're close.
I'm going to say an exhaust port.
I will give it to you.
What does that mean? I'm wrong?
No, it says a thermal exhaust port.
And you're going to give it to me?
Mm-hmm, half point. No, that was good, Dave. Great
job.
Slimy,
yeah. Double crossing, no good swindler.
That was an excellent answer.
All right. So we're four for four.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, yay for us.
And I hope as you were listening along that you were also four for four. All right.
Great job. We would like to thank you for listening to our Star Wars and Character discussion about Ula. Join us next time when we discuss Sebulba.
Jessica Sebulba.
Boom, 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 boom.
Thanks for listening to Star Wars in Character. Star Wars in Character is part of the NeoZaz.com network of podcasts. For more great podcasts and original entertainment, please visit www.neozaz.com. Star Wars in Character is not affiliated with nor endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox. Star Wars and all Star Wars universe characters, places, or Star Wars-related items are the copyright of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. Visit www.swic.neozaz.com for the latest Star Wars in Character episodes and information.
I always thought that the fan...
What the hell is that?
Hold on. Something's happening. What the heck? Hold on.
What was that?
What the heck?
Are you playing like a movie trailer in the background?
No, I was... I moved my mouse and it brought up the Priest trailer.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
this is the weirdest episode ever.